The Message paraphrase of the Bible shares the words of Jesus in Matthew 11, 28, the beginning of the verse, this way. Are you tired? Worn out? Wonder who I'm talking to this morning. If you are tired and worn out, you've got lots of company, and being tired and worn out is a cultural commonality. Everybody feels the same way you do. Busy all the time, running all the time, wearing yourselves thin, got too much on your plate. The survey from Business Week magazine, when the question is asked, how you doing? The number one answer was, I'm okay or feeling fine, just a surface answer. Number two, though, survey was, I'm tired. I was in Bob Evans not long ago with a preacher friend, and I could tell the waitress was frazzled. I mean, you could just see it on her face. And I wanted to help, and I hadn't asked her name yet, so she comes by, and I said, hey, how you doing? And she immediately said, I can't. That's all she said. Well, I didn't ask you to do anything. I'm just wondering how you're doing. But her response showed she was so busy and hectic that she couldn't even respond to my question. So let me ask you a series of questions. And after each one, I want to show hands if this is you. All right? This will tell me something. I have cut through a gas station to avoid stopping at a red light. Let me see your hands. Get them up. Hold them up. Come on. Erica. Oh, no. I'm sad now. I can't preach. I don't like to take vacations where there isn't always something to do. Is that you? Raise your hand if you always have to be doing something, even on vacation. Mike, okay. Okay. I frequently look at my phone for no apparent reason. Raise your hand if that's you. All right. People who talk slowly irritate me. Patient people, aren't you? I feel compelled to, don't raise your hand on this one. I feel compelled to leave church early to beat the parking lot rush. Don't raise your hand because we know who you are. And God knows too. I often switch lines because I think the one I'm in is too slow. Let me see your hands. I believe God makes whatever line I'm in the slowest. We've been talking this month about emotions. I wondered how this series would go, and it kind of, they all get a life of their own at some point. And I know being tired is not an emotion. I'm aware of that, but it does lead to several kinds of feelings and emotions, depression and anxiety and irritability and anger, all tied to this worn-out feeling. So I'm studying my Bible, and I've come across the story that I have preached many, many times, read many times, and just watched recently on the Chosen series. And I thought, well, we'll read some verses and show some clips, and we'll go back and forth, because there's part of this that I never, ever focused on, and I want to today. John 4:4-9, and I'll tell you which part that I've never preached before till today. Now, he had to go through Samaria, that's Jesus. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, here it is, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. I've never touched that part. No preachers do. We always jump to the conversation between Jesus and the woman. So we'll come back to that. He sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy bread. The Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Maybe one of the reasons that we're so busy and anxious all the time and tired is because we don't take the time we need to to rest and get the kind of rest that the Bible talks about. I love how this verse starts. It says Jesus had to go through Samaria. No, he didn't. I mean, no, he didn't. There's other ways to go. He was compelled to go. Every other air-breathing Jew would avoid Samaria at all costs. Do you remember a few weeks ago when we talked about the children of Israel, how they turned an 11-hour journey into, or 11-day journey into 40 years? Remember that? They could have went straight to the promised land. Well, Jesus turns a three-day journey into a six-day journey. Most Jews would turn a three-day journey into a six-day journey by going around Samaria. Jesus goes directly to it. Now, here's a thought, and I could preach this for a while. What areas do you avoid because they may be uncomfortable or undesirable to you, but then they increase the things that you have to do in your life just because you avoided them? All of a sudden, you're into things that you never had to be into because you just wouldn't tackle it straight on. Let me say it this way. One of the reasons we're so tired is because we're always trying to work around the things that God is trying to bring us through. So you wear yourself out. So what is it that you're trying to work around that God wants to bring you through? Now, you don't have to understand this geographically, but you do spiritually. Jesus goes through this area because there's a woman that he wants to meet, and we see it in this clip from The Chosen. Check this out, and then we'll read on. Uh-oh. Do we have the video? Is there? Okay.
Would you give me a drink? Did you hear me?
That's bad, huh?
What?
You, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan, and a woman.
All right. Starts there. We'll read on in verse 10 through 15, and then we'll watch another clip. Check this out. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Highlight that in your mind right there. If you knew who you were talking to, that's what he's saying. If you knew who you were talking to, this whole conversation would go differently. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Watch this play out in this next clip.
"I'm sorry. I should have said please."
"You know, it's not safe for you to be alone out here."
"Nor you. Why haven't you come with others? Why so late in the day? Don't women come to the wells in the cool of the morning?"
"Yeah, well, none of them will be seen with me, so I have to come at noon in the heat, as you have so kindly reminded me."
"Why won't they be seen with you?"
"Long story.
I'd still like a drink of water if you can spare it."
"Amazing what a parched throat will do. Aren't I unclean to you? Won't you be defiled by this vessel?"
"Maybe some of my people say that about your women, but I don't."
"Yeah? And what do you say?"
"I say if you knew who I am, you'd be asking me for a drink."
"Really?"
"And I would give you living water."
"Would. Except that you have nothing to draw water with, and this is a deep well. Besides, what do you need from me if you have your own supply of living water?"
"Long story."
"But Jewish water is better than Samaritan water."
"That's not what I said."
"Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well? Your water is better than his?"
"I know Jacob. And everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again."
"Wouldn't that be nice?"
"The water I give will become in a person a spring of water welling up to eternal life."
"Really?"
"Yes, really."
"Prove it."
If you only knew who you were speaking to. That's John 4:10. If you only knew who you were speaking to. Several years ago outside an ice cream shop on the edge of Los Angeles, two ladies ordered ice cream cones, paid for them, and turned to leave the store. And as they turned, standing right behind them was Charlton Heston. They couldn't believe who it was. And one of those ladies got anxious and nervous and said, you're Moses. And he said, well, I'm Charlton Heston, and if you're looking for your ice cream cone, you just put it in your purse. If you only knew who you were speaking to. I wonder if we ever take account into who we are singing to. If you really knew who you were singing to, would that change what your singing looks like? If you only knew who you were praying to. If you only knew who you were studying about. If you only knew who was speaking to us. Not who you heard he was because you've been going to Sunday school since 1893. Not who you want him to be. Who he truly is. John does a great job in introducing us to Jesus in his gospel. In the first chapter, the first verse, Jesus is introduced this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, if you go all the way toward the end of John's gospel, he says this in verse 31. But these are written, these things, these miracles, so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power in his name. And then something that goes under the radar in verse 30 at the end of his gospel. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. This is a small sample size. If you really knew who you were talking to when you pray, man, do you really know him? How well do you know Jesus? Do you know how he feels about children? Do you know how he responds when he gets angry? Do you know what he does with gossip and rumors? Do you know if he has a sense of humor? Do you know what he would do if he lost a loved one? Do you know what his prayer life looks like? Do you know what he would do in regards to racism? I do. Years ago, I preached on some trending topics, and one of those was racism. And I'll be honest, I've never paid too much attention to what people say about my sermons, whether that's bad or good. I try to be even keel and understand that everybody has a perspective, and sermons are like art, and you see what you want to see sometimes. Well, I got a letter after I preached about racism, and in the letter he said this: why preach about racism? Can't we just get back to preaching Jesus? Well, I responded to that. Which Jesus? The one you fashioned in your mind, or the one who went through Samaria? Which Jesus? The one that you're supposed to follow, or the one that you want to mold in a way that he follows you? Which Jesus? It's not up to Jesus to get on board with your agenda. It's not up to Jesus to get on board with your schedule and your desires and wishes. It's up to us to get on board with his agenda. Amen? Do we know who we're speaking to? Man, I love that this passage starts out with Jesus sitting down by the well. Let's read it again. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat weary beside the well about noon. Let me couple that, and we'll do a little theological dilemma here, with Isaiah 40:28. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. Well, didn't he just sit down beside a well because he's tired? Yet another example of what Jesus gave up to become like us, thinking about us from the beginning. So when I prayed about this message, and I do every Sunday, and I always end my prayer with, Lord, what do you want me to tell the people this week? That's my prayer. Pretty simple, I know. And God's never spoken to me audibly. I haven't had that blessing. So it's more of a feeling. I hope prompted by the Holy Spirit, and I feel like he told me what to tell you all today. People who are tired because they've been fighting at work, wonder how much longer they'll have a job. People who are tired of trying to make their marriage work because it's too much work. People who are tired from all the health issues that you've faced in the last few years. People who have been fighting the addiction of their child and are wore out, broke. What do you want me to say to the church this Sunday? Here's what he wants me to tell you. Tell him I got tired too. That's it. About that. Tell him I got tired too. Jesus sat down because he was tired. And as much as we love to shout about his divinity, and I do, he's the great I am and the great shepherd and the prince of peace and soon coming king, because he cared about me, he got tired. So every week here at church, we meet Jesus. We meet powerful Jesus, amazing Jesus, miracle working Jesus, one with God Jesus. I guess I thought today some of you wouldn't mind meeting tired Jesus. You know what? I guess being weary doesn't mean being weak. And evidently, church, it's okay to be tired. So I will confess to you this morning, I'm tired. We don't say it that way where I'm from. I'm tarred. I'm just tarred. And I've done the math, and I've figured out why I'm so tired. I'm a numbers guy, so check this out. There are 326 million people in the United States. 193 million are retired, leaving 133 million to do the work. Of the 133 million, 85 million are in school, leaving 48 million to do the work. Of the 48 million, 29 million are in federal government, leaving 19 million. Work with me here. Leaving 19 million to do the work. Of that, 2.8 million in the armed forces, and I appreciate it, and my gosh, that's worse than work, but that leaves 16.2 million to do the work. Of the 16.2 million, 14.8 million are in city and state government, leaving 1.4 million to do the work. Of the 1.4 million, 188,000 are in hospitals, leaving 1,212,000 to do the work. Of the 1,212,000, 1,211,998 are in prison, leaving two to do the work, and you're sitting here while I work. Ain't no wonder I'm tarred. The only one doing anything. Well, Jesus shows me it's okay. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. So he makes the journey from there to Samaria. It's a long trek. No wonder he's tired. Well, let me show you how that Isaiah passage we read ends. This would be Priscilla's favorite verse. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk, not be faint. Man, if this thirsty woman knew who she was talking to. She didn't know. And then what we're not going to watch or read is he engages her in this conversation and starts telling her things about her life, things that she doesn't want anyone to know and can't believe he knows, like the men that she has been married to. She's been divorced 5 times. And she's currently living with a man. And Jesus just tactfully brings that up to where they talk about that. Then she wants to talk about, she's not a Jew, so she can't worship in the temple in Jerusalem. She has to worship on a mountain, but the Jews don't consider that true worship. And Jesus engages her in that talk and says, you know what, it's not about the temple, it's not about the mountain, it's about your heart. So they have that discussion. And the way this ends leads me to a conclusion that I'm not sure how it'll hit you, but it's so true. Check this out. One more clip from The Chosen.
I have not revealed myself to the public as the Messiah. You are the first. It would be good if you believed me.
You picked the wrong person.
I came to Samaria just to meet you. Do you think it's an accident that I'm here in the middle of the day?
I am rejected by others.
I know. But not by the Messiah.
Because you know these things. Because you are the Christ. I'm going to tell everyone.
I was counting on it.
Spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth.
It won't be all about mountains or temples.
Soon, just the heart.
You promise?
I promise.
This man told me everything I've done. Oh, he must be the Christ!
Hey, wait!
Your water!
You forgot your
Fancy, a man who told me everything I ever did!
The amazing takeaway for me, and if you ever feel like you're too unworthy or not qualified or that you don't belong, she's the first, not just in the movie, biblically, she is the first that Jesus revealed, the first person on earth that he revealed to that he is the Messiah, which leads me to this conclusion. The first missionary in the Bible was a worn out, tired, beat up by life, five-time divorcee who was living with a man. Now, you do with that what you will, but that's pretty amazing. It's incredible. So let's springboard off of this great story and talk about what we need to do when we're feeling tired. So I thought about God creating everything that we see in 6 days. You know, day one, God worked. Day two, God worked. Day three, four, five, six, God worked. Then day seven, God rested. Anybody in here believe he rested because he was tired? No, of course not. I'm glad you're with me there. So he didn't rest because he needed it. He rested because we need it. And while the Sabbath day observance went the way of the old covenant, the principle of rest did not. And the difference between what the religious leaders in Jesus' day and what Jesus taught were immense. The religious leaders thought that religion was about rules and regulations. Jesus taught that it was about meeting human needs. And some of the Sabbath day laws, they just don't make a lot of sense. But that's not just true of Judaism. That's true of our laws as well. Remember a few weeks, months ago, I read you some laws that are still on the books that are crazy? Well, I didn't read them all. Here's another sample. In Alaska, Fairbanks, Alaska, it's illegal to serve alcohol to a moose. So don't do it. In Arizona, in several cities, it's illegal to drive a car backwards. That includes backing out of a parking spot. In Minnesota, there are several towns in the Twin Cities where it is illegal for a woman to impersonate Santa Claus. Gotta be a man. In Oklahoma, it's illegal for people to make ugly faces at dogs. And here's why I'll never preach in West Virginia. In Nicholas County, West Virginia, it's illegal for the preacher to tell jokes from the pulpit. Sabbath laws are interesting to me. The Sabbath day has a unique place in Judaism. Most of the world's religions have their sacred places. Islam has Mecca. Hinduism has the Ganges River. Shintoism has the island of Japan. Everybody has a special spiritual place. And for Judaism, I know they have the temple in Jerusalem, but it's not a place for them that's sacred. It's a day. It's a time. It's the Sabbath. And again, I don't want to get into a big discussion of the Sabbath, but consider just a few things. Traditional Jewish Sabbath began at sundown on Friday and ended at sundown on Saturday. The Apostle Paul indicated that one day as well as another would do. Seventh-day Adventist, and I have a relative who practices that. He follows the strict traditional structure, even today, of the Sabbath. The principle of Sabbath rest became a lightning rod for legalism. So you take a good idea, and then you make it bad by all the rules you add on to it. There were 39 categories of Sabbath work that were prohibited. I won't bore you with those. Here are the first 10. Carrying, burning, extinguishing, finishing, writing, erasing, cooking, washing, sewing, tearing. Couldn't do any of those things on the Sabbath. How far does this go? The modern-day Sabbath observer would believe one may not wear false teeth on the Sabbath because it would constitute carrying a burden. How about that? Now, I wouldn't suggest you come to church without your teeth, but this principle of 1 in 7 is interesting. We just highlighted that God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh. This is what I appreciate about God so much. We have value and worth because we are human beings, not human doings. And even though God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh, you ever thought about this? His seventh day would have been Adam's what day? First. God's seventh day would have been Adam's first. That's important. You see, we don't rest from our work. That's kind of how we got it in our head. We need to rest from our work. That's not what the Bible teaches. We work from our rest. Adam's first day was God's seventh day. Adam went right to work. He didn't start out resting. Went right to work. And then there was a time where he would rest so that he could get re-energized and go work again. You should be thankful you have a place to come to do what we do here. And I'm not saying you can't do that in another church. Of course you can in another church. I'm just saying we should be thankful for this built-in time where we can just come and sit and sing and share and rest. Coming here can put things in perspective, gives you a sense of renewal that you can't get anywhere else in the world. So let me give you 4 words. I got just a few minutes and I'll close. 4 words that help me when I'm tired, which is most of the time. Number one, it's a good Bible word, cease. I would have said just stop, but I need words that start with C. So, cease. Many of us have trouble stopping something until we get it done, don't we? I'm that way. If I'm in the middle of something, I want to finish it before I move on to something else, whatever it is. Always one more thing to be done or one more goal to be reached. One of my favorite theologians, I think I got a picture of him. There he is right there. What is it he says? A man's got to know his limitations. In college, we studied a group of Christians in the 1800s who were traveling wagon train from St. Louis to Oregon. They would travel 6 days and stop one day for rest, which worked fine until they got to wintertime. And then some of the folk began thinking, if we continue to stop like this, we're never going to make it to our destination on time. So they began to argue about it. And from that argument, 2 camps were developed. So some took off thinking, we're going to Oregon and we ain't ever going to stop till we get there. The other group thought, we're going to keep doing what we've been doing, which is go 6 days and then rest a day and worship God and gather ourselves and then move on and keep that pattern going. Guess who got to Oregon first? The group that stopped 1 day out of 7. I had a girlfriend once who got a new car and then totaled it 24,000 miles later. You know how she totaled it? Never changed the oil. Didn't know she needed to. Nobody told her. She didn't ask. So, if you wonder how far you can go, church, without some kind of maintenance, about 24,000 miles. At some point, you're going to break down. Cease. Here's another word, and my grandson keeps telling me this. Chill. That starts with C, doesn't it? Chill out, Poppy. You know, there are 2 different kinds of tired in the world. There's a good tired that is a result of being productive, and there's another kind of tired that most people feel. It's restless. Something doesn't feel right. Inner fatigue. You experience that, it leads to overeating or drinking or internet surfing or Facebook trolling because you're too tired to choose activities that would actually make you feel better. I'm driving to Brookville, Indiana for a funeral. I'm in a hurry. I'm notorious for leaving with just enough time to get there. Jimmy doesn't do that. Jimmy leaves early in case he has a flat or something. Not me. I'm busting it there. Well, here's this guy walking beside the road, and it's raining, and he's got a guitar in a case that he's carrying on his back with a strap. He looks like Peter Frampton, so of course I stopped. And I said, dude, get in the car. And I'm going to Brookville. You going that way? Yeah. I said, well, all right. Well, I'm in a hurry, man. I'm going to a funeral, so I'm just going to drop you off when we get to Brookville. Can you find wherever? Because I don't have time, and I go through all this. And this dude with the long Peter Frampton hair, he starts to give me advice. And first thing he says is, dude, you got to chill out. Well, I'm thinking, okay, Shaggy, any other advice you got for me here? And then he says in like some California surfer voice, don't sweat the small stuff, man. I got to thinking about it. What is the small stuff in my life? Almost all of it. That dude's right. The small stuff that I sweat? Waste of time. I need to do what my grandson told me to do yesterday. Chill out. Don't sweat the small stuff. And when you consider all the things that get us worked up and worn out, and how many of those are necessary? Now, you've convinced yourself they are, but they're not. You need to chill. Cease and chill. How about this? You need to count. Count our blessings. Count our blessings. Some of us have trouble paying attention, so we don't count our blessings. Hands of anyone who has trouble paying attention. Let me see the hands. Okay. Some of you freely admit it. The others turn to the person beside you and said, what did he just say? Need to pay more attention to our blessings. So Terry and Shauna walk in with their grandkids. All my friends have grandkids now. I have grandkids. So we're in a different stage of life, aren't we? But they are a blessing, aren't they? They're a blessing when they come, and they're a blessing when they go home. We child-proofed our house the first time them boys were coming, and they got in anyway. I was with Navy 2 weeks ago. And I had to do a funeral, but I got to spend 3 hours, 4 hours with her. Of course, we went to Skyline Chili, but she's at home, and she's typing on her computer, and she wears me out mentally. She's typing on her computer. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm writing a story. Well, that's awesome. I said, what's it about? And she says, I don't know. I can't read. I didn't know what to say. I saw the sunrise this morning. I don't always see it. Oh, my goodness, was it beautiful. I just happened to be in the right place, the right time. Do we really know who we're talking to? Cease, chill, count, consider. We'll close with this. God's been good to us as a church. He has. I think about 2 years ago. I mean, we're almost to March. This was the time, 2 years ago, when I started preaching to empty seats. I didn't like it one bit. I couldn't see any good in that. I really couldn't. I had a pretty limited perspective. Here we are 2 years later. We baptized people who found us online. We receive regular offerings from people who feel like they're a part of our church, and they've never been through the doors. We have countless opportunities that we've never seen before. Consider what God can do. Cease, chill, count, consider. Those are all good things to do when you're tired. I'll close with telling you about John Claypool, a man I respect greatly. He preached in Louisville. His daughter, Laura, was born with leukemia. And they fought it for years through her childhood. She, when she was 10, she couldn't fight anymore. She went to be with the Lord. And John and his wife, because everyone handles tragedy and grief differently, they just couldn't coexist in that situation, to hear him put it. And they were always arguing and short-tempered and impatient because of what they'd been through, so they split up. This was a well-respected preacher in a large church. Just devastated. Devastated by the loss of his daughter, devastated by loss of his spouse. Quit the ministry. I don't know how long it was. A few years, though, he decided, you know what, I'm not doing the Lord any good the way this is going. So he climbed back in the pulpit, and same church that he had left hired him back. in his first Sunday in the pulpit. He leaned on the pulpit and he quoted Isaiah 40:31, which we read earlier. Those who walk with the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. He read the verse and then he said, you know what? There are times in my life when I felt like I was soaring like an eagle. But then there were other times where I couldn't fly, but I could run. And he said, but most of the time, most of my life, it's all I could do to walk and not faint. And then he said to his church, I'm just tired. I'm just tired. Said, but I've got a place to go when I'm tired. And then he quoted Matthew 11:28. Are you tired? Worn out? Come to me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to find real rest. Man, church, if we only knew who we were talking to. Amen.